Okay, let's then go to Muscle and a Shovel. At least get kind of an introductory start to it. Has anybody here not got a copy of the book yet? Okay, if you don't have a copy of the book, I don't believe that we have any more in the house. I've already ordered another 100. Typically, it takes about 2 weeks to get here, and so, you know, we'll look for them whenever. They're asking for 6 weeks, and so I can't guarantee it. I'll get it to you as quickly as I can. Week by week, if I can just remember, and then it takes a lot of time, I'll try to go through and scan the pages that I hope to look at, and then copy them and collate them and staple them so that if you don't have a book, I can, you know, give you photocopies. But it's a lot of work. It's hours of work just to get all that together each week. So I'll do the best I can with that. But, you know, get to the book as quickly as you can, and that'll be maybe another 2 weeks. So Michael Shank, the man that you see right here, wrote this book called Muscle and a Shovel. Muscle and a Shovel is essentially a history book. All he's doing is telling the story of his conversion. It is an absolutely true story, which he wrote a journal about. At the time, he was very intrigued about this man named Randall Edges, the challenges that this man was offering to the Baptist faith, nominally, that this man had. And so he was so interested in what was happening that he wrote it out in these notebooks and then forgot about the notebooks for 25 years. 25 years later, moving to a new house, they stumbled upon him in a box. His wife encouraged him to write the story, turn it into a book, and it became the story that is Muscle and a Shovel. The book spans a total of 8 months. The first chapter is actually at the end of this, tells the story of the night he was baptized into Christ. Then after introducing, you know, the book in that manner, it steps back to August of 1987 and works chronologically through with him reconstructing from his notes 25 years later how he was led to Christ. So it covers a total of 8 months. There are now 68,000 copies of the book in print. That's a lot of copies. He's sold well over $1 million worth of these books, by the way. And frequently, if you go to Amazon.com to buy a copy, they will tell you that they're sold out. And if I'm not mistaken, will then direct you to this website. Those of you who are interested in getting, you know, a little bit deeper into the ins and outs of Michael Shank himself, then that's the website. So it's michaelshankministries.com, just like you'd spell it normally. And so you can go and have a look at that. The first edition of the story came out in May of 2011. So how long ago was that? 3 years ago, you know, to the day, to this month. So it's only been out, and there's been 68,000 copies sold in precisely 3 years. So they've sold out several times. He's done some revisions. You are now reading the fifth edition, which came out in November of 2013. So the one you're reading is only 7 months old and the latest edition that there is. There have been so far, and I got this through several different sites, a total of 8,000 baptisms that we know about, that Michael Shank's been told about. People have called or written, you know, and by the way, he's booked through 2015 on speaking tours, and so don't expect to meet the guy soon. You know, he's already ever home as it is. But what I want to especially introduce you to tonight, that's why I keep picking on Linda, is that it's not like the book has been just universally accepted. 8,000 baptisms in 3 years is astonishing. You know, but there's been opposition, too. And the opposition has been taking two forms, and it will be helpful for you to know this. So it's this and a number of other things that I want to take you through in the book to refine and to hone your skills in how to use the book and to answer some questions that will pop up. First, there's going to be sometimes pretty rabid opposition. People will be mad at you if you give them this book from other churches. Most of you have already read the book. What did you read about? There were people being mad in the book. And this guy, Michael Shank, was the first one. He didn't like what he was hearing. And so when you're challenged in a religious belief, like we were talking earlier, maybe there's a whole spectrum of responses that you can choose to do. You can ignore it. You can laugh it off. You can try to answer it. You can look for help to answer it. You can dig in and study it. You know, but we're going to talk a little bit about this as we wrap up the class here in a few minutes as a sort of introduction to the rest of the book. Let me say just this one more thing. There are also people in the Lord's church, in churches of Christ, who do not like this book. Now, how many of you, and I realize you didn't have a lot of time to do it, I only sent it, you know, like 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. How many of you had a chance to read this article which I emailed to everybody that I had on my mailing list? Okay, just a couple of you so far. Now, this article is where I found the book. And it was in a printed form when I found it, a magazine I subscribed to. But I have sent an exact copy along with all the pictures and everything to everybody that has an email address. Please, and again and constantly, go home, check your email tonight. If you're a member of this church and you did not get an email from me today that contains the entire text, excuse me, of the article I just showed you, then immediately send me an email so I'll get your email address and I can add it to my list. Okay, I need to know who it is I don't have on the list. But in that article, you will read about members of churches of Christ who really don't like this book at all. And what they're saying is, it makes us too exclusive. Like, we think we know what the truth is and nobody else does. Well, that's exactly what I think. And I'm not likely to change my mind very soon. There are, among us, as you well know, members of the Lord's church who, like Judas we mentioned a little while ago, fall away. And when they fall away, they start picking on things about the Lord's church that they don't like. And this stand that there's only one way, one truth, and one, you know, life and life, to put two verses together, they don't like. They want to be inclusive. They want to accept everybody. They want to have Easter services on Sunday morning. Did you know we had a visitor last Easter from a local member of a Church of Christ because his church was having Easter services with denominational people? And even though he hasn't chosen to worship with us yet, he was so put off by that idea that he couldn't even stomach worshiping with his own church that morning. Okay, that's pretty neat, isn't it? Okay? Why is that? Because we take a stand. And we always will while I'm preaching here. And while you've got the four elders you've got. Get rid of us, things may change. Until then, we're pretty exclusivist. We think that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, means that error, false doctrine, lies, misunderstanding, and confusion will not free you. And there's a fair number of people in the Lord's church who no longer believe that. They want to just accept everybody. So you're going to find there's been a kind of an uprising in churches of Christ against this book, too. Partly, I think, reading between the lines in past history, I hope I'm not being too judgmental, that stems also from their jealousy, because they're not bringing 8,000 people to Christ every year. And so they're seeing a success that they can't account for and can't hope to rival. And that makes some people jealous. And we'll fight against that. Enough that the Pharisees killed Jesus. And that was one of the main reasons. He had all this influence. It was being taken away from them. Now, to be very specific, everybody pull out the single page that says quotations from Baptist members. Linda called me this week, Linda Carlock, and she, you know, said she had given the book out. Linda, do you want to tell the story yourself, or shall I paraphrase? Okay, I'll paraphrase for her. So she gave the book to a friend. Friend immediately read the book. Most people will read it right away. It doesn't take them a long time. It's an interesting read. They'll go right through it. And apparently this woman did. She's a Baptist. The Baptists take it on the chin in this book more than any other religious group. Because that's the group Shank was in. It's the group he was going to get answers. And so, in the book, written when? I mean, written 3 years ago, but about events that took place 25 years ago. The statement was made in the book that he went looking to a Baptist preacher and asked him, who started the Baptist church? And the preacher said, John the Baptist started
the Baptist church. Okay? Now Linda's friend went to her Baptist preacher and he asked him the same question. And he said, that's ridiculous, so I'm paraphrasing. Never happened. No Baptist would ever teach that. Now Linda's in a bind. She's given the woman the book, and the woman thinks that she's just nailed Linda's hide to the wall. It's not true. My Baptist preacher says so. Now read what you have before you. For Linda's sake, I went to the net. Took me maybe 2 hours, which is not a long time, and culling through a bunch of different websites and then cutting and copying and pasting, you know, I made the sheet that you see before you. On that sheet, as you read it, which is written entirely by defenders of the Baptist Church, by members of the Baptist Church, about the Baptist Church, for the Baptist Church, they freely admit two things. Number one, yes, indeed, in the past, Baptists taught that John the Baptist started the Baptist Church. Especially, I think it's in the second block, the second quotation there. They also say, but they don't do that so much now, 25 years later. Because it is pretty ridiculously foolish and utterly indefensible. And they got, you know, just terribly embarrassed doing that. So when you get caught with your hand in a cookie jar and you're utterly helpless to defend a really ridiculous idea, what do you do? You quit teaching it. Okay? Now, I have no idea how old the preacher is for Linda Carlock's friend, you know, in the Baptist Church. But if he's been preaching less than about 25 years, well, the least it's surprising he's never been in a Baptist church in five, and John the Baptist started the Baptist Church. Okay? But there's the quotes. And so specifically that in one of them, the guy said, of course they taught that. I was taught that in Maranatha Baptist Bible College. And here's the name of the author and the title of the book that we had to buy, sold in the college bookstore. That entire book is available online, and I gave you the quotation there. It's lengthy, so it'll take a lot of reading, but I went down through it, and I said it took me some time, and I found several places in that book, which was a textbook sold in a Baptist college, you know, bookstore to by demand for the students who had to study it. It taught exactly what Linda's preachers, what Linda's friend's preacher in the Baptist church says never happened. Linda, give that to your friend. And how powerful that is when she finds out that exactly what happened to Michael Schenck is happening to her. It's not us. It's her preacher who does not know what he's talking about. It's going to be very powerful. It'll be decision time for her. Now you're going to find a number of these in the book. Bring them to me. If you start getting feedback, whatever the opposition is, tell me. I know quite a number of you giving your books away, and that's why you don't have one tonight. Sabers among them, I think. You know, that's exactly what I want. Come every week without a copy. Give it away. Smarter, if you can afford it, buy a copy for yourself and put a lock on it. Buy another copy to give away. And one after that. Now, brother, it's going to get expensive. Ordinarily, the book on Amazon.com, after you pay the shipping, is going to cost you $19.39. If we buy them directly from Michael Schenck at $100 for a lot, shipping included, they'll cost us $13.11. It's about $6 less. But at first I thought, well, put it in the contribution, and I talked to the elders, and I was trying to figure out how to do this, and ultimately I think it's probably best all the way around if you just pay me. Okay? So I wrote a check out of my money the first time, and I did it again this week. I'm out another $1,311 this week. So I think it's well worth it. When they come in, give your money to me. I'll defray the cost as best I can. Then with a handful of books I owe or nothing that are left over, I'll go, you know, and I'll beg the elders to buy the remainder. Not what I did the first time. They offered, and thank you very much. We want to keep everybody in books. But I'd save you about $6 a copy if we do it this way. So I'll order 100 every time. You pay me. I'll try to keep a tally for you, you know, and when you need more, we'll see what we can do. But I'd save you $6 a copy. Buy one for yourself. Bring it every night. Put notes in it. Study, study, study. When the class is over, read it again. Read it at least once a year till the day you die. At least once a year. That is the best personal worker I have ever seen. And there's 8,000 other people in the last 3 years that'll say they agree. That guy can't be touched. Brother, I've always thought I was pretty good at bringing people to Christ. I got most preachers beat, to tell you the truth. But this guy just mucked the floor with my little head. Okay? So this is not good. This is phenomenal. Okay? And it could change all of you, Gene, and I am not exaggerating. Those of you who handed out the book have seen it already. You need to have one to study, and then you need to be so fresh with it all the time. You understand the doctrines that he addresses, a different doctrine in every chapter. You need to understand the opposition you're going to get from your ignorant Baptist preacher friend. You know, you need to know these things. I'll help you as much as I can with it in this class. If this class lasts a year, I'm going to be a happy man. I have no idea how long we're going to go. But I really believe, brethren, that if you just hand this book around, Eugene will never be the same. I have reason to believe that. So, let's just change Eugene. Class dismissed.